Good morning, Newville. I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book about Daniel, and I will be reading chapter 10, and to hold that place during the message. While you're looking, I will say that there's the writer of the book of Daniel is anonymous, and it is written about the exile period of the Jews and Daniel as a member of that community in Babylonia rises in this book to become an important Jewish courtier. The anonymous writer uses the period of exile to address the challenging issues of Jews living under foreign kings. He's known as a wise and righteous hero of the past and a new model of Jewish faithfulness. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. The message was true and was about a great conflict. He understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for three full weeks. I didn't eat any rich food, no meat or wine entered my mouth, and I didn't put any oil on my body until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like the brilliance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but a great terror fell on them, and they ran and hid. I was left alone, looking at the great vision. No strength was left in me. My face grew deathly pale, and I was powerless. I heard the words he said, and when I heard them, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me and raised me to my hands and knees. He said to me, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Understand the words that I'm saying to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. After he said this to me, I stood trembling. Don't be afraid, Daniel, he said to me. For from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision refers to those days. While he was saying these words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and was speechless. Suddenly, one with human likeness touched my lips. I opened my mouth and said to the one standing in front of me, My Lord, because of the vision, I am overwhelmed and powerless. How can someone like me, your servant, speak with someone like you, my Lord? Now I have no strength, and there is no breath in me. Then the one with human likeness touched me again and strengthened me. He said, Don't be afraid. You who are treasured by God, peace to you. Be very strong. And he spoke to me. As he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. He said, Do you know why I've come to you? I must return at once to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I leave, the prince of Greece will come. No one has the courage to support me against them except Michael, your prince. However, I will tell you what is recorded in the book of truth. And may God add his blessing to that reading.
Thank you. So we're going to continue our study about angels, and really it's a study about prayer, because angels are integrally involved in prayer. And I want to talk about angels in our lives today. And the takeaway for you, I think, today is that angels are for real. And angels minister to us personally today. And if you are a man or woman of God, you are the subject of an angel's individual concern. You can't predict when or how they're going to come to you. It could be invisible, or it may very well be visible, corporeal, tangible. It will be a person coming to you. Have you ever seen an angel? 18 years ago, after Timmy died, I was in overt rebellion against God. Done with him. We were attending a church, and one day, one particular Sunday at this church, a man that I had seen here or there a couple of times before in a church, he was there for a short time. People just called him Brother Dave. Never knew his last name. Brother Dave. Never spoke to him. I never spoke to him. He never spoke to me. I'm in overt rebellion. And one Sunday morning, he comes up to me, and he said, I have a message for you from God. So what would you think? You know, I'm thinking, okay, this is odd. First of all, odd. Because I had never spoken to him. He'd never spoken to me. I've just seen him around a little bit. And he said, I have a message for you from God. He said, what kind of a student were you in college? I said, I was a good student. I studied hard, and I had good grades. And he said, God's message to you is this. He wants you to take that talent and that skill you have for study, and he wants you to apply it to his word. That's all he said to me. He left. And I was asking Teresa this morning in the sanctuary, I said, do you remember seeing him around that church after that incident? And neither of us remember seeing him again. I did what he said. I applied my skill to studying scripture. Went at it voraciously. Couldn't get enough of it. Supernatural. Every morning, up before light. Every single morning for 5 years, up before light in my study for hours, studying scripture. I was compelled to do it. I was driven to do it. And then God called me to the ministry. Now, I firmly believe that that was an angelic visit to me. Never seen this person again. Angels in our lives today. Here we have an example in Daniel of that sort of thing. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, follow along in Daniel 10, please. A message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. The message was true and was about a great conflict. He understood the message and had understanding about the vision. Okay, that's what happened eventually. Now, you're praying about something. And you want to get to verse 1 right now. You want to have understanding. You want to know what's going on. You want an answer. And the opening of this narrative says, yes, Daniel did get there. Daniel got the answer. Daniel finally had understanding about what was going on in his life. And you want understanding about what's going on in your life. Because there's a lot of unanswered questions you have. There's a process to get there, and it involves angels. In those days, verse 2, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. Daniel's in a depression. I didn't eat any rich food, no meat or wine entered my mouth. He's not even bathing. I didn't put any oil on my body until the 3 weeks were over. Daniel's in abject turmoil and mourning, and he's in deep prayer every day for 3 weeks, struggling with an issue. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there was a man. Angels are visible. Angels are also invisible. Here is an angel appearing to Daniel standing on the riverbank, and Daniel describes him as a man, but not just a man. Here is an angel in humanoid form that is exotic to the eye of Daniel and exotic to our eyes also. Look at the description. Dressed in linen with a belt of... This is a biped. This is interesting. This is a biped. This is a man standing on 2 feet on the river, but he's dazzling. There was a man dressed in linen with a belt of gold ephahs around his waist. His body was like topaz. These are brilliant minerals. His face like the brilliance of lightning. Remember we talked about that before? When angels appear, they are fire, or they're lightning, or they're bright lights in their natural angelic form. Now, they don't always appear that way. Sometimes they just appear as a man, or just everyday man look. His face like the brilliance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his feet like the gleam of polished brass, and the sound of his words were like the sound of a multitude. Verse 7. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. You know, angelic visitations are individual. An angelic visitation to you are just, is this encounter I'm telling you about? No one else saw it. Teresa didn't see it. I explained it to her. It's an individual thing. It's a private matter when this is going to happen to you. I'm going to encourage you to pay attention to this sort of thing when you pray. When you pray, pay attention. Watch for the next thing to happen. Listen to what somebody says to you. Because only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me, they didn't see it. But a great terror fell on them. Others were there, and they sensed a nameless fear and a presence. You know what's happening here? The heavenly realm is crashing through the curtain between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. The heavenly realm is coming into the earthly realm, and you will feel it. It'll be tangible. It'll just be powerful. It'll grip you. And those around you are going to sense something is going on. These people around Daniel sense something is going on, and they are gripped with a nameless fear. And they ran and they hid. Verse 8, I was left alone looking at this great vision. No strength was left in me. My face grew deathly pale, and I was powerless. I heard the words he said. I heard them, but he doesn't understand them. Well, the voice is like a voice of multitude. So Daniel's hearing something coming, but he's not understanding what is being said to him, and it makes him faint. He's so overwhelmed with the presence of the heavenly realm that he falls down and he faints dead away. I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me. This is a corporeal being. Touches. Remember in Acts 12, Peter's in the prison. The angel taps him on the side, wakes him up. Angels have physical form when it suits the message that they're to bring. So suddenly a hand touched me and raised me to my hands and knees. He said to me, Daniel, first thing he says, you are a man treasured by God. Do you feel that way, brothers and sisters? Do you know the enemy's tool with me? And it's a good one. God's finished with you. You're not treasured. He's withdrawn. God's not on your side. God's not anointing you. He's displeased. The very first assurance that the heavenly realm wants to give you and wants to give me through the angelic forces is, number one, you need to know that you are highly treasured by God. You are highly treasured by Him. Paul says that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, because of what Jesus did, we now stand in the favor of the Most High Sovereign God. That is a comforting thought. And that opens up the lines of communication for our prayer. I was talking to Dan this morning about, Dan just, and I just mentioned just briefly, that what the enemy does, and what he does is he replays those old tapes. Hits play. Replays the old tapes. God can't possibly be happy with you. No. Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. You, brothers and sisters, are men and women treasured by God. So understand the words that I'm saying to you. Stand on your feet. For I have now been sent to you. After he said this to me, I stood trembling. The next paragraph, verses 12, 13, and 14, reveal a tremendous, supernatural experience that is going on. When you pray. Last week we talked about the Claudius prayer versus the earnest prayer. I don't know, as I said last week, if you engage in this. I don't know if you are dedicated and you have earnest prayer time and you are having prayer from the depths of your soul. I don't know if you do or not. But when you do those things, you actually are entering into, please get a hold of this and grasp this, you're entering into the fray in the heavenly realm. You're going there. You enter into that atmosphere. Earnest prayer. And I have been so impressed with this by the Holy Spirit. And I have seen the Holy Spirit work so powerfully in this. And I have become dedicated to this kind of thing in my life. I can't imagine a day going by anymore. Well, I'll tell you what. I had a couple of days go by. I think it was this week. Maybe this week at the beginning or the last week. I had 2 days go by where I did not engage in earnest prayer. I mean, there are so many things that stop me from doing this. How about you? There's so many things that can come ahead of this. Oh, I'm running late for work. Oh, I'm just too tired. Or this cup of coffee just tastes too good. I don't want to get up right now. I don't want to do this. And I had 2 days. When I neglected earnest prayer from the heart, dedicated prayer, And I could tell you something, I felt it. Absolutely felt it. Felt it in my life, felt it in my environment. Earnest prayer unleashes mighty forces in the heavenly realm that we can't even imagine. When you do earnest prayer, you're setting off a firestorm in the heavenly realm. Those prayers are not lost. Those prayers do not just disappear. Those prayers cause a chain reaction to occur in this realm that we can't see. Look what the angel says to him. "Don't be afraid, Daniel," he said to me. "For from the very first day that you purpose here, is your prayer this way? Look at what sets the heavenly realm alight and ablaze." He said, "On the very first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself," marry those two terms in your praying. "Yet, Lord, I'm here. I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I want to understand. I want your will to be done. But I'm also coming to you humbly. I'm not going to make any demands on you, Lord." Daniel comes to him, and he wants to understand, and he wants to humble himself. And the angel says to him, "Well, when you started praying that way, things started to happen. From the very first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard." Is that comforting to you? Do you ever feel like your prayers aren't heard? That the heavens are, like Shakespeare says, the heavens are brass? And your prayers go up and they bounce right back down? When you pray earnestly, let me impress this upon you. The Holy Spirit has really got a hold of me here, and I hope that the Holy Spirit gives this into you. When you pray earnestly from the depths of your soul, nothing that you pray about stays the same. You call the very sovereign God of the universe to marshal his angelic forces to come to your request. You cause turbulence in that heavenly realm. You are a force. You're known. Why do you think Daniel's suffering for 3 weeks? Why is he in mourning for 3 weeks? Have you ever felt that way after you prayed? I have. Have you ever prayed about an issue that is so sharp, and you find yourself in turmoil after you pray? You find yourself like Daniel in almost a depression after you pray. And this turmoil and this battle goes on in your heart. And you know what's going on here? Daniel has actually entered the conflict that's going on in the heavenly realm. And so will you, and so will I. You actually feel it. I don't know what other kind of evidence you need. That's evidence of an unseen thing that's going on in a realm that we now in our state do not have the capacity to see into. Oh, I know how that sounds to our Western minds, to our scientific linear thinking minds. I understand how that sounds. But Scripture screams of this 300 times. This has completely changed my praying habits. Because you see, when I understand what my prayer is doing, I then have the impetus to pray more earnestly. Because I know, just like the angel says to Daniel, from the very first day you purposed to understand and humbled yourself, your prayer was heard. And Daniel, things started to happen. The dominoes started to fall. Well, what's the problem? Why is it taking 3 weeks? Don't stop praying. Your prayers were heard, and I've come. Look at this circle. Oh, you can't circle in your Bibles, right? Well, those are church Bibles. No, don't circle in those. I have come for one reason: because of your prayers. Do you want the comfort of the angelic realm to come to you? We're promised this. Daniel, I've come because of your prayers. End of story. Not because of your lifestyle. I've come because you have taken advantage of this very powerful thing that God has blessed his people with so that we are able to enter the fray in the heavenly realm. And I've come simply because you prayed. But, verse 13, here's where it gets a little dicey. And here's where I'm telling you, do you need, as like Paul says, you put on all of the armor of God. Put on the armor of God, because when you enter this heavenly realm, like Daniel did with your prayers, when you get into the fray, when you take on those demonic forces in the heavenly realm, you're going to need the armor of God. Push against evil, it pushes back. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. What is going on? What kind of unseen, bodiless, spiritual warfare is going on around me every single day that I am not privy to, I have no knowledge of? And the angel says to Daniel, you know, I heard your prayer, that God heard your prayer the very first day, and he dispatched me to with your answer. But I ran into a problem in this heavenly realm. I ran into the prince of Persia, and he opposed me for 21 days. I couldn't get to you. I don't know what to make of that. There is apparently demonic forces that have sway and governance and authority over geographic regions of the earth. Well, Paul says that. He says our battle's not against flesh and blood, it's against rulers, authorities, and the rulers in the heavenly atmospheric realm. And then he sums it up, against the evil forces in the atmospheric realm. And are you telling me, Tim, that there is a hierarchy of the demonic order and that certain demons have control over certain geographic areas? Are you really saying that here from the pulpit today? You felt it. I have too. You ever feel the heaviness of Satan? Prince of Persia, the demon that had control over this region that Daniel happens to be in, is powerful. And he opposed me. And I couldn't get to you. But Daniel kept praying. Somehow, some way, we're in concert with the angelic forces. Now watch this. Daniel's praying persistently and fervently and earnestly for those 21 days buoyed the action of the angel, supported the action of the angel. You ever pray about something for a day or two and it's not happening? Move on. We support with our prayers the warfare that's in the heavenly realm. Somehow, some way, God has deigned us for this duty. Well, why doesn't God just squash this? He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. Why did he allow this prince of Persia to oppose this interpreting angel from coming to Daniel? Why doesn't God just step in? Well, my answer to that is this. That apparently God allows these fallen angels a rebellious activity in his creation and the ability to thwart his will and to shake their fist in his face. akin to the same way he allows humanity to do the same thing. That's for another day as to why that is there, as to why. You know, Nate and I were talking about this last week as Nate left the church, and I think we talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Jesus said, you know, remember that parable that a farmer planted good wheat, and then he comes out and a couple days later, and there's weeds everywhere, and the farmer says, the enemy did this. Some enemy threw weeds in my field, and one of the hands says, why don't you just go through there and pull up all of the tares? And the farmer says, I can't do that because it'll disturb the wheat too. So somehow, some way, this angelic, demonic conflict going on in this realm is, and if God would squash that, somehow it truncates our spiritual development. It shortens and hurts our spiritual development. God wants us to enter the fray. God wants us, and I'm going to say God depends on us, but I know that that's not really theologically sound, but I'm going to say it so that we understand the concept here, that God depends on us praying to him, therefore we bolster this angelic force of his in the heavenly realm. When I get on my knees in my study and I pray, I visualize this very thing, and it is powerful to think that my prayers are having that effect. Don't ever let the enemy think your prayers are not having an effect. They are. But I'm talking about earnest, dedicated praying from your soul. I'm talking about a time set aside every day where you purpose, like Daniel, to understand and to humble yourself before God. You will see answers to those prayers. Then look what happens. It gets even crazier. Then Michael, the interpreting angel, is saying to Daniel, I would have been here sooner. I'm sorry. I really intended to get here, but this prince of Persia stopped me, and it took 21 days. I'm doing battle with this. You know, that's another thing. What is that like? What is that battle like? What's going on? We have no way of knowing what's happening. And then Michael, the interpreting angel, says, and Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. Who's Michael? He's the archangel. He's number one. He's the most powerful. Came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia. This interpreting angel is outmatched, apparently, and he's left with these demonic kings of Persia, the prince of Persia, and the interpreting angel is not up to that. And so Michael is dispatched by God to come and help and pave the way so the interpreting angel can get through to Daniel. Scripture. This is scripture. This isn't Lord of the Rings. The angelic archangel paves the way for the interpreting angel. Could that really be going on? Is it really that real in this realm? See, the interpreting angel says, well, Michael came to help me. And then he says, now I've come to help you. Michael helped me, Daniel. Apparently the Persian demons fled at the specter of Michael, who must be awesome. If this interpreting angel puts Daniel in a swoon, what would Michael do? Michael came to help me, Daniel, cleared the way, paved the way. Now I'm here to help you. I pray for the angelic. I don't pray to angels. No one prays to angels. We don't pray to angels. We pray to God. Angels, what's Michael doing here? Michael is doing exactly what his job is, according to the Hebrew author. Hebrew 1:14 says, aren't all angels ministering spirits that are sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? Michael is doing that task. He is sent to minister and serve Daniel because Daniel is an heir of salvation. You are being ministered and served to by an angelic being. Trust me, you are. We never know. Daniel would have no way of knowing that this was going on. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, that what loving, powerful beings are right there to watch over and to help me. Isn't that comforting? You have these powerful, loving beings, these angelic beings, at the behest of the sovereign God, who are there to watch over you and to serve you and to minister to you. And the battle that's going on, the battle that is joined over your life and over your ministry and over your future and over the future of your children, you never know. I pray for my children every day. I have a wife who prayed for our marriage every day. I have a wife who banked up prayers for our marriage every day. Because I don't want to be in a position where I am susceptible to those demonic forces that are coming at me to lessen, to make me less than in the kingdom of God. Now, you've got to watch this. Bank up your prayers, because he's coming. I had no idea. You have no idea what's going on here right now concerning you and your family. And I have a visceral belief that my prayers and the prayers of my good wife marshaled the angelic forces to combat the demonic forces coming at us. Does that mean we don't have any problems? Oh, far from it. But I know that these angelic forces are stronger than the demonic forces. James says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You see, we have... Are you getting an idea of how powerful your prayers are? Are you getting an idea of what you set off in the heavenly realm when you earnestly purpose to pray and dedicate yourself to that? I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to invite you to do that and see how God will work through the angelic forces in your lives, in your relationships. We little know what powerful, loving agents are watching over our lives, right there to help us. Right there. While he was saying these words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and was speechless. Again, this is just too much for him. Suddenly, one with human likeness touched my lips. I opened my mouth and said to the one standing in front of me, "My Lord, because of the vision, anguish overwhelms me, and I'm powerless. How can someone like me, your servant, speak with someone like you, my Lord? Now I have no strength, and there's no breath in me. I can't even breathe." Then the one with human likeness touched me again. You see, isn't that what Daniel says? Human likeness. It was like a human, but not really. It was like a human, but different. "Touched me again and strengthened me," he said. Touching. The angel touches him. "Don't be afraid, you who are treasured by God." There it is again, treasured by God. And what is the result of being treasured by God? Look at the next three words. "Peace to you, and be very strong." You're treasured. It brings peace, and it brings strength. I'm reminded of Isaiah here. You know, Isaiah, remember in Isaiah when he was a youngster? He says, "I'm ruined." Isaiah says, "I'm ruined." Because he says, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the very throne of God." We can't stand the glory of God. And this is, what this said to me was, this is just the reflected glory of God, actually, through this angel. It's the reflected glory of God. How much more would the direct glory of God be? And Isaiah says, "I'm ruined." And I think of, you know what I thought of? I thought of these open, rebellious antagonists to God that are in our nation today, that openly mock Christians openly mock God, openly mock Jesus of Nazareth. And I thought there's going to be a day when they are going to be exposed to the very glory of the one they're mocking. And I guarantee you, like Jesus said in Matthew, people all over the world are going to raise a loud, unready people all over the world are going to raise a loud lament when they see the glory of God. You know, one thing that my Christian heritage gave me a lot. I think the overarching thing that my Christian heritage gave me was a very deep, visceral fear of God. I have that. He said, "Do you know why I've come to you? I must return at once to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I leave, there's going to be another demon come. The prince of Greece will come." And then this fascinating verse 21. "No one has the courage to support me against them except Michael." Courage? Angels have to have courage to face these demonic forces? How much less can I? "No one has the courage to help me out here except for Michael." What is going on in this realm? What are these beings like? Stay prayed up. My advice to you. "No one has the courage to support me against him except Michael, your prince." The angels are stronger. Here. If I gave you some trepidation today about this demonic thing, let me soften that. You don't need to worry. We have the prince. We have the sovereign God, and we have the angelic forces that are more than equal to the task. The only thing that is missing, as I see it, is the earnest, dedicated prayers of you and me to call those forces into our aid, because they are there, ready, willing, and able to protect you, me, our family, our children, our marriages. Use them. Call on them. This week, start. If you haven't heretofore, this week, start. Time, place, position, posture, persistence, and passion in your prayers. You set aside a time when you bring this issue into the heavenly realm, and you will see the angelic forces minister to you. You will be served. You ever seen an angel? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing on these wonderful truths and power that you have made available to your people. Amen.